Movie featured screenplay on the Book of Revelation, called Chronicles of the Final Day, by Andre Dilerba. Logline is, in 2046, a new world order triggers the ancient prophecies of Revelation, compelling individuals to make their decisive eternal choice. Outside warehouse. A squad of soldiers clad in white uniforms drive up to an abandoned warehouse on a dirt road in two military vehicles. They jump out of the vehicles outside of the warehouse. Inside warehouse. Manfred, a young, mustache, nerdy, slim, is frantically rushing around a messy desk with Matt. Young, tall, well-dressed. They are shoving the items, laptop, maps, charts, into backpacks. The logo of a yellow Jewish star watermark is clearly seen on the papers. Matt. Manfred, I hear them coming. You must take the maps and leave. You know what will happen if they find us in possession of the temple plans. Manfred nods as he puts the final things into the bag. Manfred. Where are you going? Matt points up. Manfred shakes his head, chuckles as he tightens the straps. Manfred. I give it to you, you are consistent. Matt. I wish you would see. Manfred. Emitter's a cold facts kind of guy. Matt. Are you? Manfred and Matt clasp hands and Manfred leaves with the bags of maps, laptops, and papers. Outside Babylon, New York City, day. The year is 2046 and this corner of the world has fallen to corruption and greed. Babylon is a modern New York City and people flock to it from all around. Anything and everything is sold there. People are paying for goods using digital currency accessed with the touch of their finger on a digital reader. All roads lead to the NYSE. Wealthy cars arrive, well-dressed men and women get in and out, right in front of the NYSE. There are huge gray buildings on either side of the NYSE, science bases, and correctional centers with large screens. Suddenly a red flash streaks across the screens and a stylish news reporter. News reporter, good morning, folks. It looks like another beautiful day in New Babylon. The sea levels are steady today, except for the little disruption last night at Our Lady Liberty. This was nothing more than the haters group, called Christians. Major Damian Bates, handsome, well-built, stoic, walking with purpose. He points and the militia. Dressed up like the Nazis, but in red. Damian. There isn't a city more beautiful than this. It sells everything. Oh, beautiful Babylon. How I love thee. They grab a homeless man. Damian. With the others. As he is being dragged off, the man resists while shouting to the bystanders. Prisoner sheeple, open your eyes. This is your freedom being dragged away. The man is thrown into a vehicle. News reporter, remember, the only way to stay safe is by getting rid of the defects. The regal logo of the UN flashes across the screen. News reporter. Hail the kings. Citizens turn to face the screens, right hands raised with fists in the air, chanting. Citizens. Hail the kings. Hail the kings. Inside ruined apartment. A dusty, old-fashioned projector streams a feed onto a ruined wall. The family, mother, father, grandmother, and child watch live reality TV while eating dinner. Father shaking his head. Live stream, chained men, women, and children standing in a line, ordered by the militia, entering the correction center. Father. Spitting, of course, it's the Christians' fault again. Lies. Fake news, believing anything these kings say. Child. Are we going to fight them? Father. Let's just get to the defector safe houses first. Mother. Don't you think we should, Grandma? Sighs, oh, I remember when I was a youth. Before all this. Before the book burning. Grandma clutches a Bible to her chest. Father. He will come, as he promises. Just hold on and weather this evil storm. Mother. And you're sure that thing isn't sending signals, feedback? Mother points at the projector. Suddenly the door breaks down and a squad of militia. Storm the apartment with guns. Militia. On the ground now. Ground now. Mother and child scream as militia wrestle them to the ground. Grandma tries to lower herself but is too slow, so the militia kick her down. Father gets up to fight and gets knocked down and is handcuffed. Militia. On the ground, you filthy deceivers, now. Where's your God now, huh? Father mumbles to himself, unintelligible, eyes directed towards the sky, hands clasping together. Militia kicks him and knocks him out with the butt of his gun. Inside correctional facility's main lobby, afternoon. A huge white-walled building with glass panels overhead. Clean, sterile interior that deceptively looks like a hospital. Inside, the staff wear clean white uniforms, but armed guards patrol the vicinity, rounding up groups of rebels. General Hogan Bates, well-built, military type, marches forward in his crisp uniform, clipboard in hand. He knocks back some chewing gum and rounds on a line of restless rebels. Hogan. All righty, all right, this won't take long. He pulls the pencil down from behind his ear and walks the line. The family stands among them, looking them up and down. Hogan. A minor and a mother. MMH, you're fit for the World Order operations. The children and mother dragged away screaming. Father trying to fight for freedom but muscled down. Hogan raises his hand. The guards taking them stop. Hogan. We are not monsters. Make sure you separate them. Hogan looks at the father, who is struggling to no avail. Hogan. And you're in luck, you are part of the seed program. They take your sperm and do all sorts of things with it. Father is dragged away. Grandmother stares out vacantly from her wheelchair and Hogan almost passes her. Hogan. And the undesirable. The drain on society. Obviously, the vaxes weren't strong enough to kill some of you off. Hogan stares up at the glass ceiling, thinking, and tapping his pencil. Hogan. The pit's looking pretty full. Ah, screw it, they can squeeze in one more. A guard grabs her chair from behind. Hogan. Leave the chair, we don't want to waste good scrap. The guard drags grandmother out of her wheelchair and Hogan sits in it comfortably, making notes. Grandmother wriggles in the arms of the guards and looks to the sky. Grandma. Lord, forgive them for they know not what they do. Open their eyes. Hogan. If your God cared so much, darling, he wouldn't have let you live so long. Hogan smiles a slimy grin at her, raises a brow as his men drag her away. Hogan bites his pen, brow furrowed, bored. He looks around and sees a band of guards striding across the floor, led by Damien. Hogan throws his clipboard down and walks over to them. Hogan. Boys. The group turn and give a fisted Hitler salute. Hogan. Where are you heading off to? Militia 1. To raid the penthouse, sir. Hogan. Well, watch out for this one, he's scared of heights. Hogan playfully jostles Damien and cringes as he steps forward. Moves his sore knee. Damien. General, I thought you were heading to Jerusalem. Hogan. Everyone reports to some bitch. Emitter's stuck in with the damn paperwork. These days they'd rather see me tick boxes than hunt vermin. It will change. Damien. What's with your knee? The militia stand awkwardly. Hogan. What can I say? Their skulls are tougher than they look. The men start laughing, then compose themselves. Damien. We'd better go, Dad, I mean General. Hogan. Give him hell, Major. Hogan slaps Damien hard on the back and the men go Hogan. And don't be late for dinner tonight. We're at Angelo's. Hogan picks his clipboard back up off the floor, but the chair is gone. He sighs and looks around at the people being herded like cattle. Two militia pass him with a pregnant woman in her 30s. Militia 2. Looks like we've got another hell spawn. Militia 3. Let's take her down to the lab. Those guys love fresh meat. Hogan's eyes light up. Hogan. I'll take it from here. Inside Correctional Facilities Lab's corridor. Hogan escorting the pregnant woman, with some kind of syringe in her arm, through a basement with no windows, only harsh light strips. Men, women, and children strapped to hospital beds. The overflow is strapped to chairs. They are docile, drugged up. Scientists bustle around them with syringes and electronic tablets, prodding and poking them as if they were animals. Hogan. The Ten King's vision is to create a superhuman by re-engineering the seed. You have a lot of spare parts. Hogan looking her up and down. A doctor in a lab coat opens a door in front of Hogan and the pregnant lady. Doctor complete with white scrub cap, mask pulled down past his chin, removing blood-covered gloves from his hands. Doctor excited to see the lady. Damien. Forgot the damn haloperidol. Hogan turns. Damien rushes past, with a brief pause, seeing the woman is pregnant, quivering. Then continues to open the nearby cabinet. Hogan. Don't be afraid of using something more sedating. Hogan taps the gun and hands the quivering woman to the doctor. Hogan. Emmeter's sure you can find a use for this. The doctor nods curtly as Hogan heads out. Damien. Doc, she's mine. Doctor, but the general. Damien stares at the doctor. Uncomfortable pause. Sees the surname Bates embroidered on his uniform. The doctor hands her over and exits. Inside Correctional Facilities hallway. Hogan approaches a door, and a ledge emerges from the wall. Does a retina scan. The door opens. AI female voice, welcome General Hogan Bates. Inside Correctional Facility Josh S. Office Day. Hogan enters the office, where a figure hunches over a blueprint. Office is strewn with piles of papers, models of the temple schematics, and at least three hologram monitors. Hogan goes over to the figure who is in deep concentration. He slaps his shoulders. Hogan. Joshy boy. We're off to Jerusalem tonight. The figure startles and turns. Josh. Stocky, nerdy, balding. He straightens his glasses. Josh. General. Hogan. You don't need to be so formal. We're alone. Hogan picks up a Star of David ornament on Josh's table, spins it around in his hand, and then puts it back down. Hogan. What have you got for me? Josh. We're just putting the finishing touches on the new temple. Josh points down at the blueprint and Hogan stands over it. Hogan. Impressed, right over the ruins of the Dome of the Rock. Josh. Technically, it was the location of the first temple. Hogan. Per the king's instructions? Josh nods. Hogan squints and is a little surprised by something on the blueprint. Josh. These are Ezekiel's parameters. I've double-checked. Hogan taps his finger on the blueprint, one room off to the side. Josh. Well, well. This was an addition, a temporary fixture outside the perimeter. Reading, vaccination clinic that we're calling the barracks. Basically, reapplying what we have in this city. Per the king's request. Hogan. We're supposed to be wiping these people out, not making them better. Josh. It incorporates nanotech. Hogan ponders, then slaps Josh's chest. Hard. Hogan. Genius, track the vermin to the nest. He kicks back in Josh's chair and props his feet up while managing his knee. Josh struggles to grab his papers. Hogan. If this works, they'll put your name on that new temple. Hell, they'll put your damn face on it. Hogan looks out for a moment, musing. Josh standing around awkward. Hogan. Well, back to the grind. Starts to get up, nursing his knee. Hogan. Your family is already there, right, and still on for dinner. Friday? Josh nervously nods. Josh. Can I ask you for a favor? Hogan motions for Josh to continue. Josh. Never mind. Hogan gives Josh another hearty pat on the back before he leaves. Inside Josh's house, Jerusalem, living room, night. Small home, but homely with no religious artifacts. A statue of the UN logo on the wall. Josh and his wife, Rachel. Short, highly anxious woman, with dyed black hair and a bun on top of her head. When she moves her head, her bun sways. Little off-putting. She is fretting over the welcome home banner, each holding one end. Rachel. It's crooked. Josh. It's not, that's just your eyes. Rachel. Emitter's telling you it's crooked. Josh. Oh, honey, man has been out in the desert for the last 2 years. Do you really think he'll care? Rachel. He'll care if his sister isn't here. Where has she got to? Josh. I told you, it'll be that new boyfriend. Rachel. The one that we know about, but never see. She pulls the banner to straighten it. It looks straight. Rachel. That's about knock. 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 She gets off the stool and heads to the door. The banner pulls loose on one end and flops down. Inside Josh's house porch, they both run to the door and count. 3, 2, 1. Josh pulls open the door. Josh and Rachel. Surprise. Welcome home. But it's just Hogan and his wife Sarah, slow-talking, Beverly Hills-style dressed woman. Hogan standing with a crate of Gold Star Export beer. Hogan. Ah, don't look too disappointed. I got the goods. Josh and Margarita welcome them in. Josh takes the beer. Josh. Glad to see you, Colonel and Sarah. Welcome to our home. Hogan. It is just Hogan tonight. Josh acknowledges. Hogan and Sarah step inside. Josh. I see you brought a little taste of home. Flight good? Make yourselves at home. Hogan and Sarah enter another room. Knock. Knock. Rachel. Oh, that's him. Rachel shuffles Josh to get ready. She reaches forward and pulls open the door. Josh and Rachel. Surprise. But this time it's Abigail. Bookish, conservatively attractive, typing on her phone. Abigail. Thanks, guys, I forgot my key. Abigail walks in idly and doesn't look up. Josh. Where have you been? You should have been back an hour ago. Rachel. I told you, it's that new boyfriend of hers. Hogan walks, opening a beer. Hogan. Boyfriend? I swear you were still in diapers like 2 days ago. Abigail. Blushing, it's nothing. Rachel. Why didn't you invite him tonight? It would be great for him to meet the family. Josh is closing the door, but a boot is wedged in the doorway. He looks up, it's Damien, with a bottle of wine. Damien. Emitter's not late, am I? Hogan. Not at all, son, the party doesn't start until you get here. Hogan proudly ropes him in, and Josh closes the door. Rachel. Well, I mean. Josh nudges her. Damien. Good, Cos, I'd hate to miss it. I haven't seen Madden so long. To Rachel, Mrs. Angelo's, I brought you this. Damien hands her the wine. Damien. To Josh, thank you for inviting me. Josh extends his hand awkwardly and Damien, unsure of the gesture, shakes it. Hogan. Come on, Josh, he's not gonna bite. He's not on duty. Damien looks up promisingly at Abigail, who blushes again. Damien. And, hi, Abigail. Abigail. Damien. Knock, knock, knock. Josh, whose hand is still on the door handle, opens the door without looking outside. But he sees the shocked faces of everyone. He looks to the door. In the doorway is his shabby, unshaven son, Matt. Silence. Josh. Matt? You okay? Matt steps in with a smile. Josh brings Matt in for a tight hug, causing him to drop his bag. Josh. Softly, welcome home. Inside Josh's house dining room, later. The two families are seated around the table, laughing over wine and beer. Matt is sitting quietly at the end of the table, not engaging or looking up. Hogan. Which left me thinking, I could go for some of that water into wine stuff if you know what I mean. Josh and Rachel hardly laugh and share a concerned look at Matt. Rachel. Who's for some dessert, HM? To Abigail. Abigail, do you mind clearing the plates? Abigail. Sure. Damien. Oh, let me help you. Damien shoots up and nearly knocks the plates off the table. Abigail snickers and awkwardly gathers up some plates. The pair move into the kitchen and Hogan downs the rest of his beer. Hogan. It's good that the two families could get together like this. Once that temple opens, it's going to be pretty busy for the two of us. Josh acknowledges with a head nod. Hogan. And have they, built it all right, Josh? Josh is looking at Matt. Abigail nudges Josh to respond. Hogan. Emitter's just saying. It's like the ones his people used to make, so if anyone is an expert. Sarah elbows Hogan. Josh. Polite laugh, Emitter's no historian, nor Jewish anymore, but yeah, as per the specifications. Hogan. Come on, it's in your blood. Be proud of your heritage, man. Matt chuckles to himself. Hogan. Something funny over there, Matty? Matt. Is that even permitted to be celebrated? Matt continues to eat, head down. Hogan. What kind of camp did you go to, again? Rachel. It was a wellness retreat, Hogan. Come on, I was born on Tuesday, but not last Tuesday. He's been scrounging around the desert with the rest of those sandal-wearing hippies. Some say they are Christians. Hogan chomps down on the food. Josh is uncomfortable. Sarah eyeballs Hogan to stop. Hogan's face turns to a friendly smile. Hogan. Rachel, great meal. We haven't had a home-cooked meal in some time. Inside Josh's house kitchen. Abigail unwraps the dessert and Damien starts setting out the plates. They are alone. Their hands reach for the spoon. Abigail. Oh, sorry. Damien takes her hand and kisses it softly. Abigail. Looking around, Damien. Damien. I've been thinking about you all night. Emitter's sick of hiding. Abigail. And just, wasn't the afternoon. Enough together? Besides, your dad would kill us. Damien. You are no longer Jewish, and I have papers to prove it. Abigail. Let's just wait until this temple stuff is over, okay? On top of Matt coming home. Things are crazy enough as it is. Damien extends his kisses up her arm, which she rips away looking around, picking up the tray of desserts. Damien. Okay, but as soon as those temple doors open. Inside Josh's house dining room. Abigail walks in carrying the desserts. Damien behind her carrying the napkins. Hogan. Don't strain too hard, son. Don't underestimate those napkins. Hey, give me one of those. Damien gives him one. Hogan takes a pen out of his pocket, positions the napkin to draw something. Hogan. Josh, watch this. He draws the UN logo with 10K in the center. Josh. You want me to make a new logo? But there are 9 kings, not 10? Hogan. Can you do this before the opening and place it on the barracks entrance? Hogan winks at Josh. Josh nods. Hogan. Hail the kings. Hogan pushes out his fist to the UN logo on the wall. Josh nervously responds likewise with his fist. Everyone follows except Matt, who continues to eat his food, still looking down at his food. They all lower their hands. Hogan notices Matt. Hogan. Matt, you don't honor our kings who brought us peace through science. Matt's head is still down. Matt. You mean peace through fear and persecution. Josh. He didn't mean it. You can see he is not in the right state of mind. To Matt, Matt, you can be excused. Matt gets up from the table. Hogan is unfazed. Hogan. Not to worry, Josh. Leave him. Hogan. Stay, Matt. Matt sits, head down, wipes his mouth with the napkin. Hogan. It is still peace. A rose by any other name is still a rose. They've solved the global pandemics, pushed back global warming, solved world hunger through science, and are working together. Matt. And abused, enslaved, and killed those who believe in Jesus because they see it for what it really is. Matt raises his head and faces Hogan. Matt. I suppose they don't fit into the scientific UN mold. Yeshua is my only king. Hogan slams his hand down and looks at Josh. Hogan. To Josh, Imiter's your friend, so I will look the other way. One time. But you need to send him to the correction facilities before it is too late. Matt. You mean concentration camp. Rachel slaps Matt. Hogan. At least one of you has balls. Hogan shakes his head and grabs his coat. Hogan. If he was some kid spouting off rebel propaganda like that. Well, let's just say he's been getting awfully familiar with those camps he knows nothing about. Hogan storms out, wife behind. Damien gets up, gives a surprised glance at Abigail, and leaves. Josh's head falls into his hands. Abigail storms out. Abigail. Thanks, Matt. Outside Jerusalem Street, afternoon. The Bates and the Angelos are walking through a crowd of eager onlookers. They are wearing their best outfits, apart from Matt, who is still dressed in simple clothes and at a distance from them. Hogan keeps throwing strange looks back to Matt, but Sarah nudges him whenever he does. Hogan. Why is he here? Sarah, be patient. He is young. They brainwashed him in the desert. Let him experience the Holy Kings for himself. He will change. Militia patrolling acknowledge Damien as he leads the way for the families. They pass an old beggar on the floor. OLD beggar, any change? Oh, please, sirs, any change? On such a charitable day. The families ignore him, but Matt reaches into his pocket and puts some coins into the old beggar's hand. Matt. It's not much, but it'll get you some food. Old beggar, oh, thank you, sirs, thank you. Hogan taps Damien on the shoulder and points to a man standing on a stack of crates. Hogan. Tell the boys to sweep the street. Looks like some are still getting through. Damien. Already on it. Jewish preacher on crate, arms wide open to the people walking. Jewish preacher, my brothers, my sisters, surrender to God. Time is at hand. Yeshua is coming back. Be ready. These kings are spoken about in Daniel, and they will lure you with their lies. You are their lambs to the slaughter. Hogan reaches for his gun. Hogan. Treason. But Damien calms him down and motions Hogan to look. A squad of militia out of nowhere knocks the preacher off his perch and kick him on the floor, then drag him into a van. Outside security gates. Militia standing at the gate checking high-ranked officials' papers. They review Hogan, Damien, and Josh's papers. They acknowledge them with a fisted Hitler salute. They respond the same. Hogan takes Damien's arm. Hogan. Any trouble? Damien. I know. Zero tolerance. As they walk, Hogan looks over at Josh, who is still miserable. Hogan. Still thinking about the preacher? Josh. What? No, he got what he deserved. Hogan likes Josh's response and sees the new logo on the barracks entrance. He likes and pats Josh on the back. outside the temple's late afternoon. An enormous building constructed to resemble the Ezekiel temple structure. With the lights and all, it can be seen from miles around. It has a large entryway out front and a red ribbon across the doorway. A huge crowd of people are sitting on raised seating in front of the temple. 10 kings are sitting above the temple with stairs leading to the temple entrances. Hogan and Josh step up from the side and the crowd goes wild. Josh is overwhelmed, but a huge grin spreads across Hogan's face. He leans into the microphone. Hogan. Hail the kings. The crowd stands, fisted Hitler salute, and roar back. Crowd. Hail the kings. Hail the kings. Hail the kings. Hogan stands up to the microphone properly. Hogan. Brothers and sisters, Emeritus General Hogan Bates, our team has taken great care to build this magnificent temple as per the requirements laid out by Ezekiel. Lead by this Jewish man Joshua Angelos. Beat, Josh side-eyes him, sorry, ex-Jewish man Josh Angelos. Crowd applauds. Hogan. This temple is a sign of unity, as agreed with the Islamic brothers under the kings. The crowd goes wild and starts chanting. Crowd. Hail the kings. Photographers and press taking photos from a distance. Josh looks out into the crowd and spots Rachel and Abigail giving him a thumbs up. Matt is staring. Outside crowd stands. Matt taking a sip of water. Matt. Under his breath, ironic that this whole place is designed as a sacred place to worship Elohim, which they try to stamp out. Hogan and Josh see someone of importance coming and exit quickly. Outside the temple. The Beast, Titan. Slick hair, 7 foot tall, oozing charisma, striding up from the stage side. Titan. Thank you, General and Architect. The crowd goes wild, clapping and cheering. Titan. I have traveled from Istanbul to be with you today. Why might you ask? Because Jerusalem has always been my second home. I am more than a media mogul. My parents came from the tribe of Dan. Notice my parents, not me. I am the spawn of someone greater. Titan smiles. The crowd applauds. Titan. So just as a faith was born here thousands of years ago, it's fitting that it finds its end here today. Chuckles, the circle of life. Hell of a thing, isn't it? The crowd laughs. Titan. Now, after nearly 2,000 years since the last temple trumpet sounded. Today, this very day, marks the Feast of Trumpets and a trumpet will sound one more time but this time to bring true peace. This temple is more than a symbol. It embodies our unity and peace. No more religion. No more conflict. Everyone and everything under the 10 kings. The crowd applauds. Titan points up. The 10 kings are seated high up above the temple walls on a separate structure. They are illuminated with light. Sun and moon can be seen. Sun is about to set. A map of the world is projected onto the sky. The world is separated into 10 distinct regions. As each king stands, their region illuminates until all 10 kings are standing and all regions are illuminated. Outside crowd. Stands the before sunset crowd looking up and clapping. Matt. They're all as corrupt and wicked as each other. Rachel. Shut it. Abigail nudges him. Abigail. You want us to get thrown into jail? Abigail looks over at some militia patrolling the stands. Damien is among them. Matt. He won't let anything happen to you. Abigail scowls and nudges Matt. Abigail. How? Matt. Riley, there is a lot you don't know about me, sis. Abigail. Don't make up stories. Matt. Don't worry, Emeter's getting kicked out after today, anyway. Outside the temple. The crowd's fisted Hitler salute again, chanting. Crowd. Hail the 10 kings. Hail the 10 kings. Hail the 10 kings. The kings all raise their hands acknowledging the crowd and sit. and nod. Shofar trumpets sound. The world goes dark. The sun is shrouded with something that looks like a sackcloth, and the moon looks like a blood-red ball. Flashes of lightning across the sky. Outside crowd stands. The earth shakes and trembles. Crowds panicking and running for cover. Militia firing lasers into the sky. The lightning reveals the outline of a person standing in the clouds, but the face is unclear. He is the source of the lightning. At the same time, two glowing lights flash down into the temple court. A handful of people are starting to illuminate with a white glow. Most observers are either frozen looking up or running away and not really noticing the illuminated. The illuminated one's hands are stretched out in reverence towards the image in the clouds. Abigail is trying to drag Matt by the arm to safety, but is unaware that he too has been transformed. As she turns to urge Matt on, she notices his snow-white robe. Rachel also turns to see. And in a flash, he and all those who were illuminated are taken up. Lightning flashing upwards all around. Abigail and Rachel stand staring up. Damien runs to secure Rachel and Abigail from the panicked mob. Damien. Come now. Damien pulls them towards the Golgotha Caves, which have larger openings. Inside caves, twilight. People flowing in like a sardine run. Jam-packed. Rocks shifting. Citizens. Shut up. Or the rocks will fall on us. Citizens. Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne. And from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? Damien. Get out of our way now. Inside cave. Abigail seems in a daze as she is knocked back by people again and again. Damien trying to control, protect. Her eyes roll into the back of her head. And she collapses. Damien. Abigail? Abigail. Outside the temple. Above them, the sky is normal as though nothing happened. The Ten Kings stand and give a nod to Titan as they exit. Titan arrogantly surveys the scene with calculating eyes and takes the microphone. Titan. My friends. Calm yourselves. Just some trickery by the Christian menace. But we are not weak to their tricks, are we? The crowd murmurs nervously. Titan. As you can see, we have swiftly contained it. Don't fall for their hoaxes. They are trying to scare us, divide us, but we are united and strong under the Ten Kings. The crowd starts to warm up to this. They perform the fisted Hitler salute. Crowd. Hail Titan. Hail Titan. Hail Titan. Titan throws out his arms like a proud father, looking upon his children. Outside the temple entrance, night. There is commotion in the temple courtyard. Militia guards run in, only to meet a blast of fire that disintegrates some and burns others to a crisp. Burned corpses fall off the steps, and all around, cameramen and news reporters jostle each other to get a good look. Abigail walks through them all, calmly, unnoticed, as if she is in some sort of trance. She climbs to the entrance of the temple. All eyes are on her. She spins around. Abigail. These are the two prophets, Moses and Elijah, who have come to declare the judgment of Elohim and sacrifice animals for your continual rebellion. Two men, in long white robes, come out. These are the two prophets, also known as the two prophets. Both in their 60s. Elijah is very hairy, and Moses is a large barrel-chested man, but not fat, with a long beard and a large rod in his hand. We can make out that behind them are many sheep. Behind the two prophets, from the temple, exit a large crowd of men of various ages and off-white robes. They walk towards the east, hands raised, praising God, but they have something glowing on their foreheads. Zoom in to see an embossed YHVH written in Hebrew, as if branded. Person. These are the 144,000 of the tribes of Israel. Sealed by Elohim. Abigail. Listen to them, for they come to declare the good news of Yeshua to the world. He that has ears to hear, hear. Moses and Elijah re-enter the temple. The 144,000 are nowhere to be seen. Abigail faints. Damien. Abigail? Abigail. Outside the temple. Titan nods. Three militia drag Abigail by her arms. Damien tries to prevent them, flexing rank but to no avail. Militia. She's under arrest, sir, for spouting treason. Titan's orders. Damien looks back at Abigail. Damien. Okay, I'll take her personally. It's only fitting for one this. Extreme. They hesitate, look at his rank, and allow him but continue following behind. Outside the temple's night. Josh runs around through the crowd still looking desperately for his family. Josh. Rachel. Matt? Matt. Rachel runs over to him, they embrace. Josh. Abigail's with Damien. Where's Matt? Rachel doesn't answer, looks at him. Awkward pause. Josh is frustrated. Josh. Where's Matt? Rachel looks up. Josh. Okay, stay here and I'll find him. Outside the barracks. The vaccine clinic turned into a makeshift militia center. Militia coming in and out. Abigail lays elevated on the bed. Damien next to her, holding her hand. Abigail. Mom, Dad? Damien. I have my men helping them look for Matt. They will find him. Abigail. No, they won't. He went up. I saw him. Damien. I know that's what you thought you saw. But these Christians are pretty crafty. Abigail temper flares. Abigail. I saw him go up. Damien. The militia turn around. Damien reacts and urges her to keep quiet. Damien. Keep quiet. Don't repeat it. This could land yourself and your family in more trouble. Abigail. More trouble? Damien. My dad was obligated to report Matt's outburst, sorry. And now with your recent outburst at the temple. Your family is Abigail shaking her head. Abigail. Under arrest? Damien. Well, it does seem that your family is against the world order. Abigail gets up to walk out. Damien grabs her by the arm. Shakes his head. Damien. You must stay. It is for your own good. Abigail resists. Damien turns to the guards. Damien. This one is crazy. She needs to be detained. But do not harm her. Do you understand me? Abigail. Damien? Militia. As you say, sir. Damien exits. Guards look down at Abigail on the bed. Inside hall of the Ten Kings, night. A tall room with great banners that stretch high up to the ceiling. A long ornate table stretches out across the room. Ten kings sitting on their respective regal chairs at the top of a circular podium. Hologram in the center of the room playing the evening events. There are three kings who are clearly the most powerful, identified by their boisterous mannerisms. Dmitri. King of the North, Asia, large Russian, like Stalin, bangs his fist on the chair. Mao. King of the East, Asia, like Mao, laughs and brushes Dmitri's outburst off. Muhammad. King of the Southwest, Asia, and North Africa, like Ayatollah Khomeini, gets up and walks around. The rest of the kings are watching them. Doors open, General Hogan enters and walks to the center of the room where the hologram is. He stands to one side to make way for Titan. Titan enters with hands in the air. Makes the long walk from the doors. Titan. Gentlemen, kings. Your majesties. What are we going to do? They nod. Dmitri. Strong Russian accent, watch your place, Titan. Your self-exaltation today didn't go unnoticed, Titan. We asked you here to ensure we have a consistent message track about what happened today. Titan. My boys and I will think of something, don't you worry. Mao. Strong Chinese accent, have you forgotten your place, Titan? And no, you won't. You will say this, and exactly this. At the celebration of global unity and peace, we executed our Christian extermination program from space. Titan. You mean using laser technology to evaporate the last vermin stragglers? All kings agree with a nod. Titan. Seriously? Why? What are we trying to hide? Tell them the truth. All kings agree with a nod. Dimitri. The truth? What is truth? Titan. Yeshua chose his people and left the rest to be destroyed, like those two men at the temple. Strip them of any heavenly hope. Then we unite to fight back. Did Yahweh himself not say, and I quote from Forbidden Book of Genesis, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Because he knows what they, those at Babel, failed to do. I will finish what they started. I mean you will finish what has been started. Dimitri. Don't patronize us. You will say exactly what Mao told you. Understood? Titan looks away and gives a half nod. Dimitri. What about those two? Hogan steps forward. Hogan. We have missiles. Just say the word. Mao. Snaps, General, Emitter's not impressed. You oversaw security today? How is it that the vermin were in the crowd? Are they smarter than you? If it wasn't for your exemplary record, you'd be dead. No more mistakes. Muhammad. Strong Arab accent, General, you have our full support to destroy those two in the temple and those crazy followers. By any means. But do not, I repeat, do not damage the symbol of our unity and peace, our temple. Understood? Hogan gives a knowing nod and exits. Inside Josh's house, living room, night. Militia arrests Josh and Rachel while others gather the temple plans. TV on. TV screen, Titan standing outside the temple, but far enough from the entrance. Titan. You are all left to be trampled. He is not a god of love. We need to fight back. I know his weakness. Unite and I promise you we will win. Josh shaking his head at the militia disrespect of the papers. Rachel crying. Josh subtly moves a USB memory stick with his foot into a crevice in the floor and covers it. TV screen, suddenly fire rips out of the temple's entrance. The militia around the edges are suddenly consumed by fire. Moses and Elijah are revealed with fire repelling from their mouths. They calmly step forward. Elijah. For the next 3.5 years, 7 trumpets will release the judgments of Elohim. 1/3 of the vegetation will be destroyed. This is the first of the 7 trumpets. TV screen black, broadcast interrupted. Hogan. Long time no see, Joshy boy. Hogan walks in. The militia stand to attention. Hogan. What is the best way to get back inside that damn temple without going through the entrance? Josh looks down at the cuffs and Rachel is crying. Hogan. Frustrated, look, if you just tell me what you know. We'll look the other way, and I'll see that Abigail is released. Josh remains silent. Hogan. Right, so we're doing this the hard way. The two militia step forward and grab Josh and Rachel from behind. Outside road day. Josh and Rachel are in the back of a big, armor-plated SUV and being driven by a militia. Driving on a gravel road with pace, full of potholes, houses along the road are unoccupied. 1/3 of the trees are burning. 1/3 of the farmland is burnt. Explosion. Bang, a small meteor strikes the road in front of the car. The driver swerves and struggles to stay on the road. Hits a tree, the militia driver and passenger are thrown out of the front window. Dead. Josh grabs the keys and unlocks Rachel's handcuffs. They climb out and leave. Josh forgets something, runs back, and picks up the driver's radio. Outside Woodlands. Josh and Rachel stumble through the forest. Battered and bruised. But alive. The radio buzzes. Hogan. Over radio, Sergeant, where are you? Josh switches it off and takes off the battery. Rachel looks at Josh, like why? Josh. They can track it. Inside Josh's house, living room, day. An apologetic short Hispanic cleaner with a colorfully decorated vacuum enters the house with a large corporal. The corporal is reading orders. The three other militia playing cards at the table. The house has been ransacked. Militia corporal. To the cleaner, but why? Cleaner non-intendo Ingles. Militia corporal. To the card players, makes no sense. But the general wants the dust particles from the lounge. The corporal looks at the UN approval seal. Militia corporal. It's legit. The corporal nods to the cleaner and the cleaner starts to move things aside to vacuum. Montage. The next few months. Day and night, Hogan and Damien conduct raids across Christian households. Hogan is dragging people out into the streets and locking them up. Damien's face is clear that he is becoming increasingly unsure of the militia methods and sometimes prevents the harassment. Damien shows photos of Josh and Rachel. People haven't seen them. He also looks at maps. Militia tries to approach the temple multiple times, but are being destroyed or running away. Inside Hall of the Ten Kings, day. The kings are sitting on their seats, reviewing the last few months' global events via a large hologram. Hogan is standing in the center waiting for direction. Hologram scene 1, panning across the world, one-third of the vegetation is destroyed. Dimitri. A third of the world's grass and vegetation. A third. Wiped out, just like that. Then. Hologram scene 2, a huge volcano on the island of Hawaii erupts. The whole island looks like it is on fire. The lava spreads across the island, like blood. It spreads into the sea. Mao. What are the chances that the volcano in Hawaii erupts at the same time those false prophets declare it? Now the whole Pacific is covered in this bloody lava. This is a third of all oceans. Hologram scene 2 CONT'd, it destroys ships in its path. Some ships just catch fire, burn, and sink. Fish, whales, turtles, various marine creatures lie dead on the surface and then burn up or are covered by the lava. Hologram scene 3, a comet heads towards the Earth. Missiles and lasers fire upwards to stop it. Muhammad. And then they declare that a star called Wormwood is coming to destroy a third of our fresh water. We tried to break it up with firepower. And it hit Lake Superior, spreading bitterness and sickness. Many people died by just drinking it. Hologram scene 3 CONT'd, the comet breaks through the firepower and hits the center of Lake Superior. A light pale green substance spreads to the other major lakes. Panning across hospitals lined up with people trying to enter, then falling dead. Hologram scene 4, explosion on the sun, moon, and in space. The sun and moon are missing a third of its surface. Dimitri. And now, today after 6 months of torture, a third of the sun, moon, and stars don't shine. Hologram scene 4 CONT'd, panning across the earth, unusual uneven dark patch. Break and feed. Hologram TV scene 5, Moses and Elijah are standing at the entrance of the temple. Moses. You continue to disobey Elohim by mocking his son. You continue to persecute his people, repent. Elijah. The blind leading the blind, both will fall into the eternal ditch. Moses. The last three trumpets will be more severe than each other. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Dimitri hits the button, switching off the hologram. Dimitri. Why haven't we destroyed them? Hogan. We have tried everything without destroying the temple. Dimitri. Have you found the architect, the underground tunnels, under the temple plans? So, why are you still here? Hogan nods curtly, turns, and leaves with two militia in tow. Titan walks in and motions to Hogan to wait. Hands open wide and walks to the center of the room. Mao. General, arrest that man. Hogan steps forward and then steps back and doesn't move. Titan's hands open wide and he walks to the center of the room. Titan. I too support transhumanism to better mankind. But we are in a spiritual fight now, and you are using pea shooters. I have the key to unlock the power beyond. Only I have the power to destroy the two and all those who keep their commandments and follow Yeshua. Only I can feed their flesh to the birds and drink their blood. Dimitri. You have forgotten your place. Who do you think you are? Titan. Your future king. I am the spawn of someone greater. The dragon. The 10 kings stand at one accord. Muhammad. Treason. You are done. The 10 kings in unison put their unique rings into a panel in front of their chair. It lights up red. Sounds of people running towards the room. Titan slips out the back. Outside Istanbul, Titan's home, day. Black cars leave an oriental home. Titan sitting in the back of one. Hogan driving. Hogan. They have declared war on you and I. The militia are en route. They're coming across the Black Sea. From the north. And by land from the east. Titan nods. Titan. Then it is time for Israel to experience my greatness. Let's go to Beth Shemesh between Jerusalem and the sea. Prepare Dragon Protocol. Hogan nods solemnly. Outside Beth Shemesh, day. A single black SUV is waiting in the middle of an empty street. Another car rolls up to it. Suddenly a flurry of bullets rain down on them from the south. The bullets explode on an invisible dome around them. Titan looks up and laughs. Hogan. Dimitri? Titan. It's Muhammad, the king of the south. They are fast. Do not kill them. Bring them to me. Titan sits relaxing on a beach chair in the middle of the street, glasses on, and drinking a margarita. Hogan and his team run out into open combat, flanking on either side where the fire is coming from. Across the street, Hogan and his militia shoot down Muhammad's forces. Using an EMP and sound and earth vibrating devices. They make short work of them. Outside Beth Shemesh Street. Hogan drags Muhammad and throws him down to Titan's feet. Hogan gives Titan Muhammad's ring, which Titan scans and gives back to Muhammad. Titan. Now isn't that better than cutting off your hand? I want us to work together, unify. We can only beat him together. Hogan puts his hand to his earpiece. Rushes over to Titan and whispers in Titan's ear. Titan. Sighs to Hogan, be merciful. Just as he says this, a barrage of firepower streams towards Titan and Hogan's army, met by an invisible dome, stopping the explosions in the tracks outside Beth Shemesh outside city day. A convoy of militia vehicles are speeding through the sand from various angles towards the city, shooting high lasers and releasing camouflage drones. Mao is giving instructions from a nearby cave. Titan's black car convoy comes up the dirt path. Mao. Now. His men start shooting out of the rocks and the convoy. Titan's cars begin transforming. The hood becomes a sonic device and then sound waves are released, causing the artillery rounds to go everywhere, but not near the cars. The sound waves dislodge large rocks that fall over the face of the cave, trapping Mao inside. Outside Beth Shemesh outside city's day. Hogan is again sitting in his beach chair with Mao on the floor in front of him. Upon scanning Mao's ring, Titan throws it back at him. Titan. To drive unity, I must remove the edict you kings have written against me. Mao. Is it worth it, Titan? Wasting the lives of these soldiers? Titan. Get those chains off. He's a king, not an animal. The only reason you are alive is because Titan is merciful and wants unity. Mao. Panting, How?
Titan.
How did I defeat you? I told you I am your king, but you didn't believe me. Do you believe now? We need unity, especially now. I am your ally, not your enemy. An evil smile creases Titan's face. Hogan. Dimitri is approaching from the Mediterranean Sea. Soon he'll be north of Israel.
Titan.
Oh, that Russian dog is still chasing me. I single-handedly uprooted the two strongest kings, and he will be next. Let's not disappoint him, Hogan. Inside Hall of the Ten Kings, Day. Titan stands in the center of the room, with the Ten Kings in their normal seats. Dimitri looks a little roughed up.
Dimitri. If we are going to win, we need to stand united, as one, under one leader against the two deceivers, the 144,000 and their converts. I motion that Titan, who has reigned officially with us for 1 hour, now becomes our leader.
King of Kings. All the kings nod in unison.
Mao. As we have decreed, let it be written.
The kings stand up and insert their rights into the podium before them.
The scanner lights up.
They beat their chest and stretch out their fist as in Hitler salute.
Ten kings.
Hail Titan.
Hail Titan.
Hail Titan.
Inside militia.
Barracks, Day.
Abigail is slumped miserably in the corner, in a nest of blankets and coats.
She's watching some militia gear up.
They banter among themselves.
One takes off his shirt, glancing at Abigail.
Militia One.
Like what you see, honey?
I know you've been looking.
It's been a long time for you.
But Abigail looks away.
The four militia head towards her and rip away the blanket she is holding, exposing that she is handcuffed and feet cuffed.
Two turn their back on her, standing guard for the other two as something is about to unfold.
Militia One, still facing her, kneels forward and licks her cheek.
She violently reacts.
The other holds her.
Damien.
Get away from her.
Damien is standing at the entrance.
Militia Three.
The Storm of Samaria.
You can wait your turn.
Damien.
Get.
Away.
From.
Her.
Militia Three.
Didn't you get the memo?
Anyone who is a Christian is either killed or needs to be humbled in whatever way we, the militia, choose.
You have been protecting her long enough.
Damien steps in and the other militia who were in the room stands 6 against 1.
Damien is on his own.
Damien.
Okay, then let me get my watch.
Damien's eyes dart to Abigail in the corner.
She is scared.
Damien heads over and removes the watch from her arm.
Then goes into Statham mode and dislocates Militia One's arm that was holding Abigail and then his jaw.
He knocks Militia Two and Three to the floor.
The other men overpower him, holding him and giving him a beating while Abigail screams.
Abigail.
Help, help.
Damien's group of militia run in and separate the men.
Damien is bleeding from his eye and mouth.
The other three militia are trying to get up from the floor.
Damien goes over to Militia One and kicks him in the ribs.
He falls flat on the ground.
Damien takes the key from his pocket and unlocks Abigail.
Damien.
Emitter's so sorry.
Let's get out of here.
Abigail stops him.
Abigail.
You know I gave my life to Jesus.
I know that Titan is the beast.
Emitter's a prisoner, and if you help me.
Well, you know what it will mean for you.
Damien uncuffs her.
Damien.
Under his breath, you can't stay here.
They need to get into the temple, and now your dad is their number one priority.
That means they will do everything in their power to get to him.
That means you too.
I can't protect you anymore.
Louder to the militia, transferring prisoner.
He walks with Abigail to the exit.
Sergeant.
Sorry, sir, where are the papers?
Damien points to his shoulder, displaying his rank and name.
Sergeant,
I know you are Major Damien, and your father is the general.
But I still need papers.
Damien leans in closer to the sergeant.
Damien.
Listen to me, snot nose. Do you want to be washing out the vermin cells as a private? The sergeant backs away. Damien continues to walk out with Abigail.
Sergeant.
Place that man under arrest.
The militia grab Damien just as he whistles.
Damien's soldiers come running in.
Damien.
Place that man under arrest for disobeying direct orders and for investigation interference.
See that he is court-martialed.
Damien signs a document as they take the cuffed sergeant.
Damien looks around the room.
Damien. Does anyone else here have objections?
Militia are too scared to respond and shake their head.
Outside militia.
Barracks day.
They head towards.
Damien surveying the area.
Leans in closer to Abigail.
Damien.
They have your dad's coordinates and are closing in tonight.
He is with the rebels who are messing with global communication.
Silence.
She gives him a look.
Damien.
I can't keep him safe.
My dad works for Titan now, and there is zero tolerance.
They will get those underground temple plans from him.
He gets her into the car and is about to head out.
Hogan.
Where are you off to?
Damien turns to see Hogan standing there with a few of his militia.
Damien.
Why are you here?
Hogan.
Raid on Josh's hideout.
This time we can't afford any mistakes.
Hogan bends down to look in the car and sees Abigail.
Hogan.
She can't come.
Titan has other plans for her.
Correction Center.
Hogan motions with his head to the militia.
They open the door and take Abigail out.
Inside Qumran Cave's twilight.
In this dark, damp, creepy cave with echoing, dripping sounds.
In the distance, there is a silhouette of a tall man kneeling.
Titan.
Quietly, and Abaddon is the only one who can stop the two prophets.
It's Titan kneeling in reverence to a being close by.
Can see the shift of shadows, but unable to see the form.
Titan.
So the condition for releasing Abaddon from the pit is that he first lead the locusts for 5 months, and then, and only then, he is a free agent for me?
A strange, disembodied, evil-sounding voice is heard.
Titan.
It's a no-brainer. Release my friend, the Prophet.
Inside underground bunker computer room, day.
This is a dimly lit place with stacks of papers and rebels hurrying around.
The computers here are old school and rustic, huge machines from the early 2000s.
Manfred, white hair and long beard, looks like he has been down there a long time.
He has a slight twitch, rickets.
He is hunched over a screen and is ticking away,
occasionally reacting and overemphasizing his reactions.
Manfred.
Apparently, Damien has been looking out for her since the beginning. He's her boyfriend.
But the man on the inside said he is not sure how much longer.
She was taken to the correction facility next to the barracks.
Josh.
Damien, Hogan the Snake's son, is her boyfriend.
Josh is sitting in front of another computer, changing the USB chip, shaking his head.
Josh.
I must go.
Manfred.
You are not doing her or Rachel any favors if you get yourself caught or killed.
The only reason she is alive is because of you.
They are going to start leveraging her for information.
I love these old things. They are simple and untraceable.
These plans are incredibly detailed.
Roddy.cul.lous turns to Josh. How did you get them?
Josh, working away on the computer, motions with his eyes.
Manfred looks over to see that same colorful vacuum cleaner that was used by the Hispanic cleaner earlier.
Rachel walks in with a tray of mugs, coffee steaming.
She puts it down on the table next to Manfred and Josh, spilling some.
Odi.
Bushy hair with glasses, techie and cleaning up the recent mess.
Manfred.
Emitter's going to call you trusty ODI.
Always there in a nick of time.
Josh.
That's an unusual name.
ODI.
My name was supposed to be OBI.
You know, as in Obi-Wan Kenobi.
My dad couldn't spell.
Josh chuckles.
Rachel. To Manfred, is it working yet?
Manfred.
Patience, patience, dear Rachel. These things take time.
Josh.
It's been over 6 months.
Manfred.
So, what's a few minutes more?
Suddenly the computer starts beep, beep, beeping.
Manfred throws up his arms in a cheer, reacts.
Manfred.
Emitter's a genius.
He pulls Josh and Rachel in for a tight hug.
Around them, the rebels chatter excitedly.
Manfred.
That's it, we are in.
The virus has disabled their central communication network and will continue to spread.
Oh shame, they will have to communicate using the old-fashioned two-way radio.
Now we can move more freely and seal off the underground access to the temple.
Josh.
Well done.
Manfred.
But wait, and in 3, 2, 1.
There is an added benefit.
Thanks to your plans, the only link that is immune to the virus is the direct feed from the temple.
24/7 direct feed.
So the prophets can continue to share their messages anytime.
Globally without unexpected.
Interruptions, if you know what I mean.
Beep beep.
They all turn.
The perimeter zone LED is flashing.
Outside decrepit house day.
Vehicles, drone, and militia personnel converge on a decrepit broken-down house.
They enter.
Inside decrepit house.
They stealthily move through the house.
Things falling.
No one there.
There is no sign of activity.
They lift tables and pull down cabinets. There are no secret entries.
A nerdy thin-looking sergeant.
Standing with Hogan, both looking at the radar monitor.
The sergeant is showing him something on the screen.
Sergeant.
The signal has been coming from here, then it disappeared.
The same time our COMMS went down.
But the last message was the coordinates of the 144,000.
And that Titan wants the media there.
Damien.
Could this cause it?
Damien standing there with an antenna and external power supply.
Hogan looks at the sergeant.
Awkward pause.
The sergeant takes it from Damien and looks it over.
Hogan shakes his head, they start packing up, and head out.
Sergeant.
No.
Hogan stops.
The sergeant standing uncomfortably analyzing the antenna with a multimeter attached to it.
Sergeant.
The signal we received was much stronger than this and the wave pattern wasn't as uniform as this would provide.
This could be a mini repeater or decoy.
Emitter's certain of it.
Hogan.
Check the perimeter.
Outside decrepit house.
The militia are walking in an organized pattern using sonic ground scanners.
Someone found something.
Inside underground bunker computer room.
Manfred finger to lips, everyone standing quietly.
Manfred powers down the last computer.
Silence.
One fluorescent light flickers.
They turn to look at it.
Manfred with one head earphone on, listening.
Outside decrepit house.
The sergeant takes the device from the private, puts headphones on.
He listens clearly.
He looks over at Hogan, finger to lips, and points down.
And then makes a circle with his finger where they are underground.
The militia back away from the area.
Hogan nods.
Excavators digging up the ground with speed.
Taking large chunks of soil out.
They hit a concrete bunker.
Damien stands on the concrete bunker and looks over at Hogan, who is standing at the makeshift strategy table.
Hogan.
I want them alive.
Inside underground bunker.
Everyone grabbing important things, USB, maps, radio, and setting timers on the other devices.
They all head towards a tunnel.
One cave is in front of them, they close the door securely and head towards the other.
Dust is forming in the tunnel, it looks unsafe.
Just then the other falls in too.
They close the door securely and they are trapped.
Outside decrepit house.
Sound of chariots racing.
A large dark patch moves over the area.
Everyone stops and looks up.
The sky is filled with a swarm of locusts.
They head towards them.
Militia fall over in tremendous pain, shaking, seizure-like. Everyone is trying to shoot at them, but it makes no difference. They abandon their work, running for cover. Damien gets into one SUV and Hogan in another. Hogan on the radio, hitting it with his fist. It is not working. A locust hits the window of the SUV hard. Close up slow MO, locust has the face of a man, gold wreath on its head, teeth like a lion, long hair like a woman, breastplate of iron, shaped like a horse and has a tail like a scorpion. It is a little dazed. It angrily strikes the armored plated window with its scorpion-like tail, cracking it, venom running down. Inside underground bunker. Manfred one hand up as he listens. Bang. A dent in the secure door. Leaves a small gap at the bottom. Something is coming in. A locust slips in. Manfred runs over to cover the bottom of the door with a heavy metal plate. The locust stings him on the arm. Manfred begins convulsing on the floor. Josh captures the locust in a metal box and puts something heavy on it. Rachel rushes over to Manfred to nurse him. He is clearly in a lot of pain. Rolling. Sweating profusely. Moments later, Manfred is still in pain. Rachel is trying to nurse him with cold patches. Josh is standing around a table with the other rebels. Josh. We will have to leave him, or we will not make it. Manfred is foaming from the mouth, but still conscious. Manfred. There, give it to me. Manfred shakingly points to a cabinet. Odia. Euthanasia pill, just in case we get caught. Man grabs a vial and gives it to Manfred. Odia. One will kill any man in less than a minute. Manfred is shaking and mishandles the vial, pops the cap with some pills falling out. He empties the vial into his mouth and swallows. Rachel, horrified, tries to stop him but is unable. She cleans his foaming mouth. Josh. Anxious, it has already been 5 minutes. We've got to go. Odia. Whatever stung him has a counteractive antidote. I'll stay with him. Odia motions with his head to go. He takes over from Rachel. Josh. Meet you at the rendezvous point in 18 months' time. Josh presses start to his watch. The countdown begins. Outside the desert, helipad day. A chopper touches down. Hogan and his militia jump out. Pretentious media reporter Tapper, bald and short, steps out with his binoculars. POV, through binoculars, 144,000 Israelites walking by, picking, and eating fruit from the trees they pass. There is a swarm of locusts around them. Forehead has a slight glow. Tapper. Why aren't they stung? Could it be those things on their forehead? A swarm of locusts heads towards Hogan. Hogan on his two-way radio quickly climbs back into the chopper, followed by Tapper. Chopper sealed. Hogan. 5 months, and now we have them exactly where we want them. Now. Militia trucks gearing towards the Israelites, followed by the media convoy. The media is setting up nearby in a mountainous area. They are closing in fast. It looks like a flood is heading towards the 144,000. They cannot escape, they are cornered. Hogan notices activity from the screen on the chopper dash. Live temple feed. Outside the temple entrance, day. The two prophets stand at the entrance, with hands raised. Moses and Elijah. As you have sowed, you shall all reap. Fire for fire. Moses and Elijah. The fifth trumpet has been completed, and now we release the sixth of the seven trumpets. It will last 1 year, 1 month, 1 day, and 1 hour. They give a single clap, then slowly open their hands to shoulder width apart. Moses and Elijah head back inside as a curtain of fire comes from the sky, just missing them. Orchestrated by Abaddon. Large, tall, imam apparel, black robe, steps forward from the flames untouched, towards Titan. He is slightly taller than Titan, they hug. Abaddon is Titan's friend. Outside the desert. The ground beneath Hogan's chopper vibrates. The chopper shakily rises and flies off. The ground near the 144,000 shakes so violently that a great split opens in the earth. The flood of militia are unable to stop and drive directly into it. The earth closes up. The 144,000 remain untouched, who continue walking with raised hands praising God. The swarm of locusts are gone. Outside Euphrates River. In the distance, from the Euphrates River, huge plumes of black smoke curl out of the river and snakes upwards. Flashes of fire can be seen within it. In a moment, it flies in all directions. Outside the desert. Hogan reacts to the swarm of smoke and fire heading in their direction. The chopper heads back, away, towards Jerusalem. Outside the temple. Titan gives Abaddon a confident look and they step forward. But as soon as they turn around, a large swarm of fast-moving, seemingly fireflies rush towards them from the east. Abaddon throws up his hands and fire comes from the sky. He whips the fire around them, protecting them from the swarming storm of fire. He knocks some of those fireflies into a wall and they burn small, deep holes into the wall but are still alive. The swarm moves rapidly across the sky. Montage. World descends into chaos. Cities piled with dead bodies, holes in their skin, mass burials, and covered by sand. The people are knocked endlessly by seemingly insignificant fireflies. The smoke embeds in their bodies and grows large like boils. It goes through their arms and legs and leaves them wounded. Josh and Rachel are hiding underground. Looking at those fireflies then sealing the entrance. Josh looks at his watch. Titan arrives at different places with Abaddon and they are literally worshipped by the people. Time and time again at the temple entrance, Abaddon points to the sky and then down at the two witnesses. As the two witnesses come out and are about to speak, they are knocked back by fire from the sky. Inside Titan. HQ interview day. Fabulous large regal room. Titan being interviewed by Tapper. Tapper. It has been 13 months since the fire and brimstone virus swept across the world. Titan. Our vaccines and pharma protocols have suppressed the combustible nature. We have brought the virus to its knees. Titan beats his chest eagerly. Tapper. Reading charts, 1/3 of the population killed. Titan. Passionately, then we will honor the fallen by beating him who sent it. Inside the temple tunnel entrance. Josh and Rachel stare down an old sewage tunnel. Seems to have been built in the Middle Ages. Manfred appears nonchalant, opening his backpack. Josh. Surprised, you made it. Manfred. You surprised? You two go in, I'll stand guard. Josh. Sorry for leaving you. Manfred. It was the right call, I would have done the same. Besides, ODI was there. Go get Abby and let's finish this. Josh and Rachel move through the old tunnel with night vision goggles. Outside the temple's day. A convoy rolls up and Hogan and Damien step out with their guns. Titan, Tapper, and Dimitri are at a nearby shelter. Titan. Gentlemen. Tonight this all ends. A metal fence surrounds the temple. Inside Abigail, S. Correction Center cell day. Evil-looking man Jekyll. In a lab coat with the United Nations 10 King logo on, sitting in front of an electric panel. Abigail's pale body laying strapped on a bed, with electric prods on her fingertips and toes. Blood transfusion in the arm. Eyes closed. Jekyll. Emitter's not going to let you damage my 100% success rate. Just denounce him and you and I can go home. Come on. Come on. Jekyll works himself into a frenzy and turns a knob. Zap. The lights go dimmer and flicker. Her body arches. Inside the tunnel's day. Josh and Rachel tread carefully. They reach a stone wall at the end and Josh traces his hand down the wall. Josh. To self, 1. 2. 3. He stops and pats one spot. Josh. This is the one.
Rachel. Quietly, you're sure this is the wall to her cell?
Josh sighs and plants a homemade bomb at this part of the wall.
He steps back. The bomb explodes and the wall crumbles apart.
Inside Abigail's correction center cell, Day.
Jekyll jumps with fright and quickly switches off the machine.
Checking the machine.
Cloud of smoke, Josh, and Rachel step through the door with air filter masks.
Jekyll freaks out and runs out, tripping on the way.
Abigail is barely awake.
Rachel crying, caressing Abigail's face, cleaning her mouth of foam, fixing her hair.
Josh frantically freeing Abigail from all the probes, cuts the straps, and pulls out the blood transfusion tube.
Abigail.
Mom.
Dad.
Rachel.
We're here, sweetie.
We're here.
Josh.
We gotta go, sweetie.
Josh and Rachel help her up. They head back through the tunnel.
Outside barracks.
Hogan looks at his watch. Something is beeping.
He reacts and grabs Damien.
Inside Abigail's correction center cell.
Hogan punches Jekyll, who falls to the ground.
Damien, looking at the bed, the straps, probes, face visibly showing pain and tears up.
Hogan goes over to the machine, switches it on.
Damien.
No, Dad, please, for my sake.
Hogan.
Your deluded son.
It's for your good.
We can't let her get away.
If there is any consolation, it will be painless.
Hogan continues.
Bang.
The machine goes up in smoke.
Damien stands holding his discharged smoking gun.
Inside tunnel.
Manfred is waving at them from the end of the tunnel.
He goes to collect Abigail from Rachel, who is struggling.
Manfred.
All clear, I've got you, come on.
Rachel hunches over to catch her breath.
Josh and Manfred flank Abigail, who continue.
Rachel, breathing hard, sees a red laser dot on Abigail.
She jumps up to block the laser.
Rachel is shot in the back.
She falls.
Josh turns around, lets go of Abigail, leaving her with Manfred, and runs back.
Josh.
My sweets?
Josh reacts to the amount of blood pooling around her.
Rachel calmly takes Josh's hand.
Struggling to breathe.
Manfred discharges a device, bringing down the tunnel the militia were in.
Pale Abigail kneels beside her mom, with tears.
Abigail.
Emmeter's so sorry.
I wanted to tell you about Yeshua and where Matt is.
This life is temporary.
I beg you, surrender to him.
Abigail takes hold of Rachel's other hand.
Abigail.
If you confess with your mouth the Lord Yeshua and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Whoever believes on him will obey him and will not be put to shame.
Rachel struggles her final breath, half nod.
Rachel.
I believe.
Yeshua.
Rachel's face grimacing in pain turns to peace. She breathes her last.
Josh kisses her hand.
Abigail hugging her.
Outside the temple tunnel entrance.
A large stone moves slightly.
Josh and Abigail emerge from the tunnel just outside the temple entrance.
Their eyes are red and sore.
Manfred pats his back.
Abigail looks over at the barracks.
There is a commotion.
Outside barracks.
Hogan stands shaking his head.
Watching a person in uniform being kicked and punched by a group of militia.
They string him up.
It is Damien.
They take a few steps back and get ready to shoot.
Abigail.
No, leave him.
Take me.
Hogan turns around.
Abigail comes running, falls on Damien, hugging him.
He is half conscious, his eyes smile.
The militia grab Abigail.
The sergeant looks at Hogan.
Hogan nods.
The sergeant unties Damien,
letting him fall to the ground.
Titan.
The perfect sacrifice.
Outside the temple tunnel entrance.
Manfred holds Josh back.
Outside the temple's night.
A huge stream of fire erupts out of the entrance of the temple, instantly stopped by a vertical fire stream from the sky. Abaddon steps forward and laughs. He nods and the fire from the sky consumes the fence around the temple, melting it. Hogan and Dimitri, who are in the background, cover their faces, hiding from the heat. Their skin starts to blister. Abaddon calmly moves forward and steers a path through the fire, with his fire. The fence falls around them, melts. Titan follows behind him, while dragging someone behind him. Moses and Elijah emerge from the mouth of the temple. Media pans on them. Moses. Repent for sacrificing to devils. Repent for leading people astray with your pharma. Repent for rejecting his son. Abaddon stirs the fire above them, without the two prophets noticing them. Elijah. Surrender to the true King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Yeshua the Messiah. The seventh and final trumpet is about to sound, bringing total dash. Fire is thrown towards the two prophets. Fire from their mouth darts out and there is a collision. The temple pillars shake. Titan. I have the lure. Abaddon frustratingly acknowledges Titan's request. The fire from the sky subsides. Fire ceases. Tapper and his camera on him. Titan, arms wide, walks, steps aside and reveals Abigail cuffed, standing just outside the temple entrance. Titan. My friends. Followers. Titan throws his arms up towards the temple entrance. Abaddon in the ready position. Titan. Come, now, prophets. Come forward and claim one of your own. Moses and Elijah appear at the door of the temple and look down at Abigail. She falls on her knees. Without exiting the temple, they raise their arms and Abigail's body raises into the air. Moses jerks his right hand and Abigail's coat opens, revealing a bomb strapped to her body. Moses. Deceivers. It is time. Elijah. For the seventh and final trumpet. But now it is written about us, and so must it be. Moses and Elijah step out of the temple entrance towards Abigail. Titan. Abaddon now. Abaddon jumps up onto the raised platform and throws his arms out wide. Fire streams down from the sky, knocking the prophets out. Their bodies are smoking but not burnt. Abaddon walks over to the two prophets. Steps on their neck, snapping them. They are dead. The militia cheer. He drags them from their hair and tosses them in front of Titan, who is in front of the live feed cameras. Abaddon raises his fist in a Hitler salute. Abaddon. Hail Titan. Militia. Hail Titan, hail Titan. Then Titan turns to the crowd that is gathering and the cameras. Titan. Those who tormented the people of the earth for the last 3.5 years are dead. Your Titan has delivered you. Loudly, I am the true Messiah. Your God. Crowd. Hail Titan. Hail Titan. Hail Titan. Titan points to the temple. Titan. My new home. You have 3 days. Clean it up and get rid of those animals. No more sacrifices. Do not bury their bodies. Titan points to the two prophets. Titan. Let the world remember and celebrate. TVs and screens across the world show their dead bodies. Mass celebrations across the world as people see their bodies lying on the ground lifeless. They give gifts to one another and hug each other. Drinking and dancing in the streets. Outside the temple's day. Titan arrives in glamour and much pomp, walking toward the temple entrance. All around him the streets are cleaner, except for the place where the two prophets are lying dead. Titan passes by them, kicks Moses, smiles, and puts his shoe on his neck for a photo. Abaddon approaches and bows. Titan lifts him and hugs him. All around them. Crowd. Hail Titan. Hail Titan. Hail Titan. Behind them, Hogan eyes the crowd cautiously. Hogan. Into radio, I don't care. Titan only wants 7,000 per section in the parade to honor the 10 kings.
Don't argue.
Just do it.
Jerusalem Day.
Around Jerusalem, the 10 parades of 7,000 each, marching around waving flags with Titans face the center of the United Nations flag.
People cheer.
Outside the temple entrance day.
Titan takes to the stage as the people chant.
Titan. Enlightened ones, you know that I am your God in the flesh, your Messiah.
Just then, Josh.
Disheveled, jumps out of the shadows with an ancient Jewish sword in hand.
Shouting.
His blade slices deep into the neck of Titan, tearing through flesh and spraying a fountain of blood.
Titan drops, neck partially dangling by a ribbon of meaty flesh.
Titan is dead.
Militia swarm Titan's body and tackle Josh to the ground.
Hogan.
Medic.
Medic.
Two doctors run onto the platform and kneel checking.
But after a few seconds, they shake their heads at Hogan confirming he is dead.
Abaddon pushes the doctors aside.
He realigns Titan's head.
He looks down and throws his arms wide.
The sky darkens overhead, thunder cracks, and a lightning bolt strikes him.
Abaddon.
Titan, you have been given the power of the dragon.
Get up.
There is smoke and darkness.
Swirling surrounding Titan.
A fire, like a laser guided by an unknown force, sears the cut closed.
Smoke covers Titan.
Titan opens his eyes, scar clearly visible, and he gets up.
The crowd goes berserk, shouts Titan's name, and fall to worship him.
Tapper.
To crowd, who is like unto Titan?
Who is able to make war with him?
All hail Titan.
Just then the cameras swivel around.
The two prophets who are dead rise to their feet.
There is a thundering voice from the sky, as the sound of many waterfalls.
Yeshua, come up here.
Moses and Elijah ascend into the clouds and disappear.
People not sure what is going on, a few people panic.
Jerusalem Day.
Massive earthquake, 1/10 of the city collapses.
One of the 10 parade groups, 7,000, swallowed up by the ground.
Outside Mount Zion Day.
To the south, unnoticeable by the masses.
The 144,000 Israelites are following a leader dressed in a long white robe that shines brighter than everyone there.
Unable to see his radiant face, they ascend quickly into the sky and disappear.
Outside the temple stage day.
Titan turns to the crowd, who are trembling and terrified.
Titan.
They are running scared.
We have defeated them.
Be strong and take courage.
We will stand together and destroy Yeshua when he returns to Megiddo.
Titan opens his hands wide and takes big strides on the stage.
Titan.
Unlike Babel, they were divided, but we are not.
If we stand together, nothing will be impossible for us.
Therefore, those who don't worship me are our enemies. They will be hunted down and beheaded.
Zero tolerance.
Unify.
Abaddon raises his hands and sparks of lightning flash across the sky.
Abaddon.
Worship Titan.
He was dead and is alive.
How much more evidence do you need?
Take his mark.
It is your choice.
This declares you belong to him forever.
If you don't take his mark, you are not worthy of his provision or protection.
You will not buy or sell.
Abaddon gets lost in the power, swirling the sky above him.
Abaddon.
Can anyone do what I can do?
I destroyed the two deceivers.
And if I submit to Titan, then shouldn't you?
He thrusts his hands towards the ground, the doors open, and a huge statue rises from under the ground.
The crowd parts and stares up at the statue.
Dark mist rolls around it and enters it.
The statue is alive, it breathes, but doesn't move.
Statue, the mark on your right hand or forehead.
Either his image, his name, or his number 666.
A crack of thunder.
Outside sky and night.
Clouds and lightning that Abaddon has manipulated dance across the sky.
Abaddon reacts as it is not going quite as he had planned.
Streaks of fire fly across the sky.
Angel 1, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come,
and worship him that made heaven, and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. A crack of thunder, a second streak of fire flies across the sky. Angel 2 Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. This angel vanishes. Outside Barak's prison, celled night. Josh is thrown into an outdoor sunken prison, half built in the ground and half open air with bars. Many people are in there, packed like sardines. Some are kneeling and others have their hands raised and are praying. Some mouthing Yeshua and others Jesus. They are obviously Christians. Josh is not, shakes his head. A dirty woman grabs hold of Josh's arm. A woman because you refuse to take the mark, or is it because you're a Christian? Or both? Man, no, he's the famous architect they looking for. Remember his face on the TV. He just tried to kill Titan. Josh ignores them, pushes himself through the people to get away from them. Water falls on him. He looks up. Militia are peeing on them. A woman, it is an honor to die for Yeshua. Josh reacts. He sees something on the other side. Quickly forces himself through. A woman with Abigail's clothes laying on the ground. Outside sky and night. Another crack of thunder and streak of light starts to travel across the sky. Echoing and booming. Angel 3, if any man worships the beast and his image, and receives his mark in his forehead, or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. Sonic boom. Angel 3. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb. The smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints, here are they that keep the commandments of God, and the faith of Jesus. Outside Barak's prison, celled night. Josh kneels, turns the woman's body around. It is Abigail, banged up but still alive. Abigail. Softly, Dad. Abigail's face creases a smiles. Damien. Abigail. Josh looks up to see Damien stretching his hands through the bars to touch her. Abigail. Softly, babe. Sound of a chauffeur blowing. Just then she gains her strength. Stands to her feet, raising Josh. Holds onto Damien's arm with both hands to give his arm a tight squeeze. And like Matt, her body changes. Like new, and a white glowing robe is wrapped around her. She starts to levitate, and then like a flash, she goes up. Gone. Outside the temple stage at night. Tapper has his finger in his earpiece again telling Titan. Tapper. They went across the world. The world has seen and heard what these three angels have said. Abaddon moves his arm and fires shots from the sky in the direction of the angel. Titan stands tall before the crowd, arms wide open. Titan. Now you have heard. Choose you today whom you will serve. One who brings destruction or one who brings peace. Crowd. Hail Titan. Hail Titan. Montage. Lineups in front of clinics and stores to get the mark. Some on the forehead and others on the right hand. None has both. Some of the silhouette Titan's face, others have his name Titan, and others have his number 666. People showing them off on social media, taking pics and sharing it. They are pointing out those who don't have the mark and treat them like scum. Violently kicking them out of stores, throwing their money after them. Militia having checkpoints and handcuffing all who don't have a mark on their forehead or right hand. Everyone who took the mark of the Titan break out with sores on their skins and faces. They are in pain. Some are angry with their spouses for forcing them to take it. TV, breaking news scanning the earth show that the sea is red like dead man's blood, thick and with red and dark patches. Whales, sharks, and fish floating on the surface are dead. TV, breaking news, all the fresh waters are red. Open water facets, red liquid flows out. people who try to drink it spit it out. TV, breaking news, people running in all directions, hiding in houses. Suddenly, the sun licks fire upon the houses. It is burnt up and all those around it, including some of the militia at the checkpoints whose skin bubbles violently and die. Inside correctional facilities lobbies noon. Sunny day but a miserable sight. Families who don't have the mark are marched in lines, handcuffed. Militia prowl the line and randomly pull one out and push them around. There are huge banners of Titan's face all around. Hogan walks up to the line with the image of Titan on his forehead. Hogan, you have been brainwashed by the two deceivers. You must be mad that Yeshua abandoned you twice. Either be corrected and enjoy life. Points to the Titan's marking booth. He has three options, image, name, number, and under them has Titan's silhouetted face, Titan 666. Hogan, or you will be beheaded. Damien comes up beside him with an electronic tablet. Damien, finally, we've managed to hack some of their towers. This is their leader, Manfred. Damien shows him a picture of Manfred. Damien, I have a way to flush him out. Hogan notices Damien's hand wrapped in a bandage. Hogan, you're to show it proud. Infection and all. Damien, it's part of my cover. Hogan yanks the bandage off from Damien's hand. The number 666 can be seen, but it looks a little different than the others that can be seen. Hogan, you chose his number. Hogan touches Damien's mark. Damien responds in pain. Damien, wasn't yours infected? Hogan looks back at the image of Manfred on the device. Damien is knocking a few in the line around. Hogan, but they know you. Damien, that's why I need you to release Josh. They trust him. If he is with me, they would think I have turned. He knew I loved Abigail, so it wouldn't be a stretch. He is no use to you. Isn't he being beheaded with the Christians tomorrow? Hogan, a whipping stick or honey? MMH I like. We get more ants with honey. Hogan nods proud and pats Damien on the back as Damien exits. Sunlight gone. They look up and the sun is gone. Total darkness. Inside the temple's darkness. Hogan rushes into the temple where Titan is sitting on a regal throne, Abaddon standing on Titan's right. Torches are lit. Hogan. Titan, the sun, it's Titan. Raising hand, oh, ye of little faith. Tapper runs in two, holding a camera in one hand and an electric tablet with the other. Tapper. Your Majesty, you need to see this. He stumbles in pain. Tapper gnaws his tongue in pain while handing the tablet over to Hogan, who hands it to Abaddon. Tapper. Arg. Emitter's sorry. Hogan too begins to gnaw on his tongue. Titan looks at the tablet. Device, with strong spotlights, panning the full extent of the Euphrates River all the way to the sea. Hogan. Famine next? Titan. To make it easier for the kings of the East to gather with everyone at Mount Megiddo. To Abaddon, I want at least 1 billion people there. 100 times more than those at the Tower of Babel, perfect unity. Remember horseback, no electronics. No distractions. Hogan. But they will ravage the cities in their path. You know the communication network is down, how are we going to call them? Titan throws back his head and a frog-like being comes out of his mouth. Abaddon does the same and a frog-like creature appears out of his mouth. And to Titan's left, a large dark shadow of a dragon moves, and another frog appears. The frogs levitate above them. Titan. Call the kings of the earth together, to Megiddo, convince them to come with signs and wonders. Time to unite. The three frogs touch each other and then fly off in completely opposite directions to each other. Outside East Countries, night. From the east, a mass of militia marching and riding horses towards Mount Megiddo. Through a dry Euphrates riverbed. Outside Southern Countries. From the south, a mass of militia are marching and riding horses, and a few million stop at Jerusalem. Outside Jerusalem, houses are broken into, militia rips jewelry off civilians, and takes the young women by force. A massive earthquake erupts across Jerusalem, rumbles, then increases, splitting the city into three parts. Earthquakes continue to ripple beyond Jerusalem to the whole earth. Bridges in China collapse. Panama sinks, making a clear divide between North and South America. Islands in the Mediterranean sink into the sea. The Earth's continents all begin shifting together to form one land mass. Pangaea Ultima. Outside Mount Megiddo. Night. Abaddon calls fire from the sky and shards of light appear, providing pockets of light for the men. As far as one can see, there are masses of military from Jerusalem to Mount Megiddo. Those who had fallen from the earthquake get up, pull off their pants, bend over and moan the sky. Militia. We are so scared. Turn back, making disgusting hand gestures. Outside Mount Megiddo. Titan points to the sky. Titan. Is that the best you can do? Looks out on his people, as far as the eye can see. Titan. Grandly, the time for victory has come. Looks up, coward. Come. Meet your fate. Outside Valley of Megiddo. Suddenly thunder and great hail comes crashing down from the sky. Houses and equipment are crushed. The hailstones are the size of footballs. Buildings and bunkers are smashed and destroyed by the aggressive hail. Some lose body parts. Even in that state, they swear at God and at the sky. Outside Babylon Street, New York City's night. Limousines driving through well-lit streets of New York City, Staten Island, Babylon. The windows are open. 10 kings are in the limousines. They don't have the mark of the Titan, but everyone else on the street does. The 10 kings have their hands out waving at the people. People are excited and running to see, and they perform fisted Hitler salute. People. Hail Titan. When they see it is the 10 kings, they are disappointed. People. Just the 10 kings. Their arms drop to their side and nonchalantly carry on what they were doing. Inside limo's night. Mao, Muhammad, and Dimitri pass slowly through the Babylonian street, expecting honor. But the people do not even look at them. Muhammad. No respect for their kings? Mao. We have guided them these past 7 years. Dimitri. We are merely puppets for Titan. But mighty Babylon City will need to be taught a lesson. They pass a highly decorated storefront with light and a fat, friendly store owner. Waves at people. Outside Babylon storefront night. The store owner is waving out to the people. Store owner. Marks. Get your marks here. The festival of Babylon is tomorrow. Get your marks free. His eyes widen when he sees Damien walking towards him. He shows his right hand. Store owner. Major Damien Bates. I know you, sir. Imiter's marked. Damien looks around as he is drawing attention to them. Damien pulls him aside and speaks in his ear. Store owner. Oh. Ah, sir, follow me. Inside Babylon storefront night. Store owner. Opens his register and holds out his hand to receive from Damien. Damien covers his hand, then removes it. Cross necklace in the store owner's hand. Store owner. Reacts, drops it. Store owner. That is forbidden. Damien. One could be arrested for just having possession. Store owner. But it's not mine. Damien. Says who? Damien puts a Bible next to the register, then picks it up. The store owner looks around scared. Damien, what is this? Do you know what happens to them if they have this? Possession is 9/10 of the law. No one is there except a few people in the aisle shopping. He rushes over the aisle. Store owner. Everyone leave. The store is closed. He ushers them out. People. But pushes them out and locks the door. Outside Library of Celsus, New York City today. Store owner. And Damien arrive outside the front of a large old-fashioned library building with many trees. Store owner. ODI is the gatekeeper. The recruiter. Inside Library of Celsus, New York City today. Books fill the ornate shelves. The janitor ODI, with long sleeves covering his hands, holds a mop and talks with Damien. ODI notices Damien's bandaged hand and can make out the mark beneath the material. Damien. They say the Book of Revelation contains prophecies of future events. ODI shrugs. ODI. Or present events. Depends what you are looking for. Damien nods. ODI slides up to a shelf and pulls down a Bible behind another book. Damien. Don't get cryptic with me. Where is Manfred? ODI. Who's Manfred? Damien jumps ODI, shoving him into the bookshelf. Puts his knife to ODI's throat. ODI. That doesn't scare me. I know where I am going. Do it. Do it. ODI shows Damien his right hand has no mark. ODI. I don't care for this world. Damien pushes ODI, knocking over some books, into a secluded cubicle. Lowers his knife, slowly. Damien. The world beyond doesn't seem to care much for you too, or you would have been taken. ODI. Some take longer to get it, but thank God he showed me before I took the ODI looks down at Damien's bandaged right hand. ODI. If I had, then I would have been doomed forever. Damien unwraps the bandage revealing 666. ODI nods knowing. Damien digs deep in his hand and pulls off the mark. ODI. Shocked, that is not how they are made. They are usually embossed, infused into the skin and DNA. Damien continues to remove the glue with his fingernail. Damien. I needed to know if I can trust you. ODI. Still shocked, they can kill you for this. Damien. Unlike you, Emitter's lost. What I thought was love was a lie. I see true love through his people. I need Yeshua and don't know how. ODI with tears in his eyes, looks up. ODI. Thank you. To ODI, been praying for you. And thank you for saving her. ODI chokes up. Damien is surprised. ODI opens his wallet and shows Damien a picture of his wife. It was the same pregnant woman that Damien had rescued. He takes out another picture out of him, his wife and baby between them. ODI. This was the last picture before they were taken up by Yeshua. She prayed for you. I was angry with Yeshua for taking them up. Then I realized his mercy for taking them before. ODI with grateful tears. ODI. Let's pray. They bow. Fade out. Fade in. ODI. Welcome home, brother. They embrace. Inside underground bunker, New York City's day. Manfred is pacing up and down. His rebels type on a keyboard. A side panel pops open. ODI and Josh emerge through it. Manfred. ODI. Where have you, Josh? Manfred runs over to Josh. Gives him a big bear hug. Manfred pushes Josh back and looks him up and down. Something different about you. Awkward pause. Manfred. Ah, I got it. It's Yeshua's touch. You've crossed over. Me too. Just then Damien steps in. Manfred and the rebels react. Beeping, Manfred looks over. Manfred. Then why is the militia here? Damien. It's not me. Damien stands, right hand raised, and Manfred eyes him. Inside underground bunker, New York City's day. Militia blow the opening apart and walk guns raised. The rebels are unprepared. Dust and smoke. Hogan walks in and looks at Damien and his right hand without the mark. Hogan. I could always spot a fake. And you obviously forgot the protocol where all prisoners are tagged. Sorry, vaccinated, with nano GPS tracker. Josh feels his shoulder. They are all arrested except Damien. Outside Babylon Festival crowd. Stands Day. A huge crowd is gathered before the stage for the festival. A garish affair with bright banners, masks, and insignias of the mark everywhere. People and teams are cleaning and patching areas where the hail fell. Long dining tables filled with food and drinks. A table at the side of the guillotine stage with the inscription Babylon Speciality Blood of Rebels. Some standing around drinking the blood. Even parents encourage their children. They raise their glasses to an image of Titan. Outside guillotine stage Day. A man pulls back a curtain and reveals Manfred, ODI, and Josh in guillotine headstocks. There is a spare guillotine next to them. Hogan. We have the trifecta, the rebels' leader Manfred. ODI, the rebels' recruiter. Josh, the chief temple architect, and the crowd goes wild, clapping. Crowd. Chop. 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 Hogan motions with his hand. The crowd grows silent. Hogan. We have hunted these men for years. Damien, my son, has brought them to justice. Damien sits with his head in his hands. Hogan. Don't be shy. Come up here and say a few words to all these good people of Babylon. Damien walks past the three. Bends down and kisses each of them on the cheek. Damien. There is only one God who is to be worshipped. There is no other. Hogan nods knowing. Damien. I am speaking to those who don't have the Titan's mark. There is still time for you. You are not eternally cursed. Hogan frowns. Damien. He says, if you want to live the next 1,000 years with him, you need to surrender to Yeshua and be beheaded for him. Or else you will be judged on Judgment Day. Yeshua is the only ways not Titan. Hail King Yeshua. Damien shows that he doesn't have the mark the people throw things at him. The militia tackle him. Crowd. Away with him. Away with him. Damien is forced into the fourth guillotine next to Josh. ODI is in a trance. ODI. The Lord says, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Babylon is fallen. Come out of her, my people. Hogan closes his eyes and then opens them looking at his son Damien. Damien mouths to Hogan, I forgive you. I love you. A tear rolls down Hogan's cheek as he slowly nods. The blades come down. The crowd erupts into thunderous applause. Outside Babylon City. The 10 kings and their militia enter Babylon. But this time with full force, destroying it and setting it on fire. Explosions. Leaving a wake of people in their path, including Hogan. Burning buildings. Dimitri. Oh, how this arrogant great city was destroyed in 1 hour. Outside Mount Megiddo, Israel. Titan with arms open wide. All looking at him. Titan. Today marks the end of the 7 years. The 1,260 days for the first 3.5 years. And 1,290 days for the second 3.5 years. It is time. Crowd cheers. Crowd. Hail Titan. Hail Titan. Titan turns to face the north with Abaddon. Titan has a long bow and arrow in his hand. They are on the top of the mount with the 10 kings in the background. All in a ready position. Looking up. Outside Mount Megiddo. Night. Light appears in the distance, brighter than any star. It gathers closer and closer. Around the base of the mountain, militia are armed. Bows and arrows ready. War horses ready. Outside upper atmosphere to north. Yeshua appears in the sky with an intensity of the light. We are still unable to see his face. We can just make out, on his head are many crowns balanced and pulled on top. He is clothed with a robe dripping with blood. On his robe and on his thigh, a name is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Behind him, millions follow on white horses, clothed in clean white linen. In the procession are Josh, Matt, Abigail, Rachel, ODI, Manfred, and Damien. They are still coming. Light shines. The sun that was missing a third is restored whole. A mighty angel stands in the sun. Angel, crying loudly, come birds and animals. Gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. You will eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Outside Israel's night. Across Israel, animals run wild, birds fly across the sky. Outside Mount Megiddo. Night. The birds and all types of animals gather on the outskirts, around the militia. On high, Yeshua and his army descend on their white horses and illuminate the sky around them. Outside Mount Megiddo. Night. The fiery boulders come hurtling towards Yeshua, but he calmly opens his mouth and shoots a flaming sword from his mouth. The fiery boulders explode in the air, leaving only smoke behind. The sword from his mouth travels and destroys all those who shoot at him. Abaddon. Thunderous, fire now. The militia shoot fiery arrows up towards Yeshua and his followers. They dissolve in the air. Titan is waiting and is about to shoot. But as Yeshua moves towards Titan, his presence is so strong that it mangles the bow of Titan and knocks it to the ground. Abaddon buckles and falls to his knees. Pain and anguish in his face. Trying to get free. From the sky, the angel Michael swoops down and takes Titan in one hand. Titan struggles, and Michael turns to Abaddon. Abaddon. Michael. I was with you. Michael. Why did you rebel? Satan Hopium? He will have his reward too. Abaddon throws out his arms to bring the fire down. But nothing happens to Michael. Michael swoops forward, grabs Abaddon, and flies away. As Yeshua hovers over the heads of people from Megiddo. The saints follow him on white horses. As he moves, the millions who have gathered collapse under his pressure. First their weapons fall out of their hands, they are forced to drop to their knees. They implode like a soda can under high pressure. Blood gushes out of their eyes and mouth, filling up the rivers of Megiddo. And the Jordan River. Outside Jerusalem's night. Yeshua lands on the Mount of Olives, the place is illuminated as if it is day. There is an earthquake, the Mount of Olives moves further east and Jerusalem further west as a very great gorge between them is formed. The Mount of Olives splits, part of it goes to the north and part to the south. The Dead Sea's water evaporates and reveals a lake of fire beneath it. Michael the Archangel flies above it and throws Titan and the false prophet Abaddon alive into the fire. The skin of the militia, who are in and around Jerusalem, starts to bubble, melting away. Their eyes dissolve in their sockets. Their tongues dissolve in their mouths. The birds and animals swarm down all around and ravage the remaining flesh of the militia corpses. Outside Jerusalem's day. The prophet Daniel, about 70 years old, bearded, shuffles forward. A large crowd of people, some with Titan's mark on their forehead and others not. Daniel looks out across the people gathered there. Daniel the prophet. Now the sacrificial lamb, God's son Yeshua, has come to reign as the Lion of Judah. He will rule with a rod of iron. Today marks 1,290 days since the two prophets were killed, the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination was set up in the temple. Blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,335th day to hear the wonderful things the Lord had in store for those who love him. But now for 45 days, the earth will be cleansed. Damien. Bates, wearing a clean white robe, rests his hand on Matt. Angelo's shoulder. Damien. You were right, Matt. You were right. A bright glow begins to fill the horizon as Matt stares ahead, deep in thought.
Matt. He will make all things new. This is not the end. Only the beginning.
Abigail, Josh, and Rachel join them. They look out at the sun shining over the promising new world.
Fade to white.
The end is the beginning.